Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The fact that you're the one doing this pre-draft press conference, does that reflect that you have final say over the draft?
No, I think that would just reflect that I was the person chosen to talk to you guys today. We're excited about where we were in free agency, and Elliot and myself and Ryan and Matt and Cam. I want to thank all of them for their efforts thus far, the scouts. I want to thank the coaches for their involvement in the draft process and in free agency and evaluating them. It's getting ready for our players to come in, and they're evaluating players. And, you know, as a coach sometimes, and an assistant coach, you evaluate players and you don't end up getting the guy that you spent a bunch of hours evaluating and you might have liked, and that's how it goes. And then you go to the next year, but we're always trying to bridge that gap. I'm getting around to that between coaching and personnel. And the longer that I do this, I always see that there's players that the personnel side may really like, and there's players that the coaching staff may covet for different reasons. And so my job and Elliot's job and Ryan's job is to bridge that gap and then to come up with a player that we feel like is best for our football team.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get you the grab bag about a half an hour from now at 1:30. We got Clip du Jour 145. WEEI afternoons come your way at 2 o'clock. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and text line. To react to Mike Vrabel from earlier this week, I was thinking about this earlier today, Keith, or last night. We were talking about it, I should say, earlier today, where the pick at number 4 for the Patriots, I mean, there really is, no consensus. There's no agreement. And you got to wonder if Mike Vrabel is the right guy to be calling the shots on that. He's answering questions, kind of dodging the idea that, well, he is the guy calling the shots. You agree with that. Even I now agree with that after having some initial question about it. I think he's pretty clearly the guy in charge. So what's your confidence level in Vrabel making the pick at 4 in this draft? If Carter or Hunter are there, it's pretty easy. But let's go with the draft odds. I read these to you earlier.
All right.
From DraftKings, Cam Ward is minus 20,000. Yep, 20,000 to go first overall. I would not plunk down on that one.
Sucker's bet, buy an opportunity.
I think you'd have to lay down a lot of money.
Yeah.
To even make $10. So he's the
even get on
to
that?
Go
a penny, not even a penny.
If you put down you put down 20,000 to get 100, right? Isn't that how that works?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying if you did put down $10, what would the return be?
If I put down
$10 and 1 cent,
yeah, maybe.
I'm going to look. Hold on.
Yeah, Nick's gonna grab a look.
Yeah, pop that in. What if you one ham? What does that?
Because maybe as a show we pool our money and we see if we can turn that into $8.
For the Browns,
if you put $10 down, you get back $10.06.
Six cents. Buying opportunity.
Okay.
6 cents that you didn't have the day before.
But then you let that 6 cents ride.
Right. On what?
It's making money.
Number 2 pick.
Yeah.
You just roll that over.
Waterfall.
I bet the draft.
So Travis, let's do it. Travis Hunter is minus 350 to go 2. That's right. Not a done deal, but that's still a heavy favorite to go 2.
Uh-huh.
Abdul Carter is minus 300 to go 3. Just for the record, Will Campbell is minus 225, 4. So if it plays out the way it's projected to, you're going to be on the clock at 4. Campbell's the favorite. That is not a consensus. I think most people would pick that. But I personally would take Genty. Tom Curran, who we talk to every week, would take Tyler Warren. He's on WEI Afternoons today. Maybe he's changed his mind. Some would take Mason Graham. Some would take Jalen Walker. Some would take Membu over Will Campbell.
Ty Warren, maybe?
Yeah, so yeah. That's another one. And I just think sitting there, this is going to take more skill than a year ago, where it was just take the quarterback that falls to you. We all know that Williams is going one. If Jaden Daniels goes two, you take Drake May. If Drake May went two, you would have taken Jaden Daniels. That was pretty straightforward. There's going to be more skill to this, and I don't know how much say Vrabel had in the drafts in Tennessee. Maybe not much, but he was the head coach for a lot of bad drafts at the end in Tennessee. That's part of why they all got fired.
Right. Which all the GMs got fired, too. So I think that had more to do with the GM. I always go back to the one example that we have that we know for a fact. He did not want A.J. Brown to be traded. He told A.J. Brown he wouldn't be traded. Next thing you know, he's gone. So he was pissed about that. The team got worse the minute they did that. They tried to pull a Vikings where the Vikings traded Diggs, drafted Jefferson, and actually got a better player. They tried that, drafted Treylon Burks, where, you know, how has that worked out? That is going to lead to getting people fired when you miss on a bunch of first-round picks and you see your win total getting worse each year. So I have one of these, like how I view Vrabel right now is it's very much an unknown. It's hard to have confidence in him, but it's also hard to be like he can't do it and have no confidence in him.
I think that's the right answer.
Okay.
I think the right answer is we don't know, which means you can't have a ton of confidence if we don't know.
No, you don't. But it's one of those, all right, he's not Elliott Wolf, so it's got to be better. Just like
you feel better than you would have if Wolf were making the pick, I'd also
just
agree
like
with
the
that.
The next head coach, now Vrabel has a track record, but the next head coach, you're like, well, it's not Mayo, so you'd think like it's going to be a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm mostly with you. I don't know how much input Vrabel had in Tennessee. But I can't let him entirely off. You're the head coach. You're going to have some say in the type of prospect they're looking at. It might not be your final call. You might not be the one actually making the selection. But you got to have some input, some say in some of these guys they drafted. And for basically his last four drafts, they got nobody. Okay, Peter Skoronski, Will Levis. I kind of like Tyjae Spears. That's a third-round running back. I'm giving you all the day one and two guys.
Yeah, not
great. Treylon Burks, Roger McCrary, Nicholas Petit-Frere. Malik Willis is already on to another team. Caleb Farley, out of football for a while. Raddins, the guard tackle who's a free agent this year, gone from Tennessee. Monty Rice, never heard of him. Elijah Molden. Isaiah Wilson, I think also out of football. Christian Fulton, Darrington Evans. You're going to go back to 2019.
Yeah.
Where, and it was a great draft. They got Jeffrey Simmons in the first round. They got A.J. Brown in round two. You're going to go back to that for Mike Vrabel being involved with a good draft. Maybe you say he had no input. None.
Yeah, yeah.
But at best, the best thing you can say about Vrabel is he's a complete wild card in the draft.
Here's my hope.
The worst you can say is he had some say in a bunch of those crappy drafts.
True. Here's my hope, though, is now he clearly has an elevated role. So we don't know what percent say he had in Tennessee. Whatever that number was, it's much, much higher now. And I would look at it as I kind of like what they've done in free agency. I like some of the moves that they've made. So I know it's apples to oranges.
I do too, but then I also look at it and go, he's the guy who also left a gaping hole at left tackle and wide receiver. So he's also that guy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a gaping hole wide receiver now that they got Diggs, but I get your point. He might not be ready to go.
He might not be out there week one.
He might not be, but they at least added him to the roster. And he did kind of point to the draft. It wasn't what he wanted. Like, he wanted to be able to set up prior to the draft, but they had so many needs, and he tried to fill a bunch of them in free agency, and now he knows the importance of the draft. My hope would be, and this is glass overflowing, Brad Stevens didn't have roster say when he was the coach. But as a coach, you have a lot of ideas on who you want, what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has been excellent at this. Now, a lot of it hasn't been drafting, but still, it's been trades, and it's been sort of manipulating the roster your way. Maybe Vrabel is the same thing, especially didn't go great with John Robinson, didn't go great with the guy that replaced John Robinson, right? He was there with that guy for like a year, I think. And so maybe he's thinking, these are all the moves that I would make. And he's had an opportunity here for a couple of months. We saw how defensive heavy they've been.
He's in charge of the roster, and I think he's upgraded it.
Yeah.
He's brought in a total of, with Diggs now, the Pro Bowl number's gone up. But I think Landry was the only guy they signed on day one of free agency early blitz that has been to a Pro Bowl. He's been to one.
But
and I think it was as an alternate. I mean, Diggs, the contract they signed, we gave you the details a week or two ago. PFT had these. I mean, basically, they can rip this up at any point. If there's anything related to Diggs' knee, they can rip it up. They won't owe him a dime.
No, that's true. That one could be like a nothing guy. He could come in and be nothing, or he could be really good. But for some reason, Vrabel was able to convince Kraft to spend money where Mayo couldn't do it.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
And so how did that relate to the draft? I don't know, but at least you say he has some say and he knows what the team still needs. And, you know, we're going to take whatever happens in this year's draft and sort of use that as kind of ground zero for what, how we view Vrabel in drafts. Like, does he take the, does he take the need? Does he take the best player available? Like, what does he do? And, you know, if Hunter and Carter are already off the board, let's say, you know, we won't really know. Like, I think those are the two obvious ones. Like, if you pass on one of those guys, like, that's insane. And then that's sort of like, all right, you're clearly drafting for need. Because after
right.
that,
if they took Will Campbell over Abdul Carter, which is a realistic scenario,
it is. We would all be like, oh my god, this
we would know
need,
they were drafting
on
need. For need.
Yeah. Whereas Campbell really kind of, it's a gray area. We had Field Yates on the show earlier today. He has Will Campbell as the fifth best player in the entire draft. So if you take that guy at four, it's not a reach. You might have him fourth best on your board for all we know, and it happens to fit a need. But yeah, I think it's fascinating because I know it's one draft, but I think we all have our ideas on how Elliott Wolf drafts
and
after
that,
one.
That's not a massive reach, but on Field Yates' board, he has Hunter 1, Carter 2, Graham 3, Genty 4, and then he has Will Campbell. So even on some level, that would be, you know, skewing things for need. That's not a big leap. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But there is a leap there. The other thing we asked Field Yates about since you brought him up, and you can hear the full interview on the Odyssey app. It was good stuff from Field. Is that he hasn't heard any of the character the football character concerns with Abdul Carter, work ethic, things like this. He hasn't heard any of that. Doesn't mean they don't exist, but he hasn't heard it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the other area where maybe you could explain away, well, it's not just we're drafting for need, we're drafting on football character.
Yeah, but he did point out specifically.
Well, I was just going to say, I would hate that because he answered, you can't just win with a bunch of good dudes, so no. I would hate that specifically.
Nope.
So that would be very telling for Vrabel. What's your confidence level in Vrabel as the pivot man in this draft? He's going to be the one who has to manipulate the draft board if there's any draft manipulation. I saw something at The Athletic from Chad
Kraft.
Graf.
Yeah.
He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, it was in a mailbag. He was asked, could the Patriots trade back from four? He says the chances of that are slim. He talked to somebody within the league with a pick outside the top 10. He said they'd be shocked if anyone in the top 10 moved up to the fourth pick.
Oh, you had a crazy stat. I think you said it off the air to me about the first round this year. Everybody owns their pick.
Yeah, let me.
Nobody has two first round picks.
I think it's the
That's
first.
Wild.
It's the first time since 1967 everyone has their own first round pick.
It kind of shows you how much teams just hold on to these things and like how much they're valued across the league. And so that doesn't mean there can't be draft day trades where teams are moving up and down and things like that. But going into the draft, there's always, I mean, hell, the Patriots for years sometimes didn't have a first round pick or.
Yeah, why was that?
Well, they got caught doing stuff they shouldn't have been doing and they got in a little bit of trouble for that. But we've seen teams in the past be very aggressive trade picks. I mean, their main reason for that stat is probably the LA Rams. The Rams traded their first round pick like every year, all
point.
The time.
It's a good point.
And so I guess we haven't seen that.
Sticking with Field Yates for a moment, he did highlight all teams have their first round pick. I didn't realize that until actually after we talked to Field Yates. But he highlighted two teams that would make sense for the Patriots to not trade back from four, but to trade up from 38. And I think there are two sides to this coin. If it's hard to, no one's really looking to trade up in the draft, then the Patriots should have a real buying opportunity at 38 to move up. If everybody's looking to move down and everybody wants to get in the sweet spot of the draft, which Field Yates said was like 70 to 150.
Yeah.
Well, then trading up from 38 should be pretty easy. There's no excuse not to trade up from 38. If no one wants to do it, you should be able to do it. He highlighted the Vikings at 24 and the Commanders at 29 as an area to move up the board. Both of those teams are short on picks. He said between the two of them, they have a combined 9 picks.
Yeah, the Vikings have 4, and I think it's not until either late in the third round or early in the fourth.
So I'm trying to think. I don't know who they gave their picks up for, but the Commanders gave them up for Tunsil. That's why they're short on picks.
It was to move back in for whatever the defensive end they took last year.
Last
year. McCarthy.
Okay, got it. He highlighted those as two logical spots to move up and get your Simmons, your Connerly, like that level of offensive tackle if they were going to move up. So the other way to get a tackle, Keefe, and this came out yesterday, was Jeremy Fowler had the initial tweet that Colton Miller, the left tackle with the Raiders, who did play under Josh McDaniels.
Yes.
During McDaniels' brief stint there in Vegas.
Quick stop.
Fowler said Miller is not currently participating in the voluntary offseason program as he seeks a trade contract, a contract extension rather, per source. People are connecting the dots on a potential trade. Miller's 29. 7-year starter. He's a free agent in 2026. Vegas has not engaged in contract talks with the former first-round pick, who graded out well on PFF. I don't pretend to watch a lot of Raiders offensive line play.
But he's a true starting left tackle. Maybe not an all-pro or anything.
Yeah, he was 14 out of 100-and-something tackles in the NFL last year is where he graded out. So, I don't know. Is that potentially a guy they could make a deal for shortly before the draft or even on draft night? Do you move from 4 to 6 with the Raiders and Miller would be part of that swap? Could you give them the extra pick you have in the third round from Matthew Judon for Colton Miller? Like that, trading for an established left tackle, not an elite left tackle.
No, I love this.
But a huge upgrade at left tackle and a bona fide, like quality NFL left tackle, that would really free you up to do whatever you want at pick 4.
I love this idea because the only reason why I was talking myself into Will Campbell is like, all right, enough is enough. Yet at some point you do need a left tackle. You can't just keep adding all these other pieces, especially all these defensive pieces. And then you go, well, Vedarian Lowe's got your back, Drake. You're like, no, he doesn't. He does not have your back. So you need to get somebody else. And so if you could grab one of those elite players at 4 that's not a left tackle and then just add this guy, give him his contract extension. He's still in his late 20s. He could probably be a starter for a number of years. And so now Drake May all of a sudden in this offseason gets a left tackle and maybe Genty or maybe Ty Warren. And if you're talking about a guy like Ty Warren, the tight end at Penn State, maybe you also move down, add some more picks. Or I'd be fine just taking Genty at 4 and adding that guy to this backfield. And then you have a legitimate starting left tackle in the league. That's great. And I can't imagine the asking price is too severe. We see players all the time go for a lot less.
You highlighted the Tunsil return.
Second round pick. And I think everybody across the league would say Tunsil's better than Miller.
Right. So that's why I kind of honed in on the extra third round pick you have for Colton Miller.
Why not?
Here's the issue. And I think Andy Hart did a pretty good job highlighting this today. He's got a show poll up there.
All right.
The man loves a good show poll.
Show polls.
He says, what would you prefer the Patriots do to solve their issue at left tackle? Would you rather draft Will Campbell?
Would you rather Wednesdays, though?
This is a good point. He said, would you prefer? This is a would you prefer Thursday.
Keith. Got it.
Draft Will Campbell. Trade for / pay Colton Miller.
Yeah, you got to do both.
Because that is the other side of the coin. He writes, or other. I'd lop that right off. But he gives you the option for other. You're going to have to trade for and pay him, which I would do.
I think you have to do it.
Because, I think you would do. He's upset about his contract. It's the only reason it's available. Would Kraft do it?
See, he needs to be convinced that he should because, and maybe Vrabel can do it. Going back to our point, like Vrabel got him to at least spend on some of these free agents because right now your two best players who play premium positions are on their rookie deals. Drake May and Christian Gonzalez aren't getting paid a ton yet. So now would be the time to pay a big left tackle for a few years. And then when that money comes off the books, then maybe that's when you have to get a younger, cheaper rookie left tackle, but you have an established Drake May. You have a well-paid at that point, Christian Gonzalez. And because of what else you can do in the draft, if you don't have to just take Will Campbell. So I hope they do it. I hope they, and my guess is based on their connection before, Josh McDaniels is having a long conversation with Vrabel and Kraft about this very thing. We've seen all the guys, with the exception of like one that they brought in free agency, and there's a lot of guys, they all played for one of these coaches, whether it's Vrabel, Williams, or McDaniels. So add this guy to the list. I think they should very much be interested.
He seems to fit the bill. Will Kraft do it? I mean, will you pay the money? He wants a new contract. The whole reason he's available is he wants a new deal. So would you do that and pay the draft capital on top of it? There's not a lot of examples of the Patriots doing that recently. Like, this comes up all the time. Well, they'll just trade for Brandon Ayuk. Well, they'll just trade for so-and-so.
So far, that hasn't happened.
DK Metcalf. Like, whoever, it comes up a million times. They have not done that. Trading for a guy with significant draft capital and then handing them a contract immediately. Like, that double whammy, they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the hurdle. Would you, if all Vegas wanted to do was move from 6 to 4 and they give you Colton Miller, my guess is they'd want more. But let's just play that game. Would you move down 2 spots, or is that too risky to miss out?
I don't know.
On a guy you want?
I think they would actually have to give you more.
You think they'd get something for moving down 4 to 6?
No.
More than Colton Miller?
Yeah.
The Patriots would get something more.
So you think going from, so let's just say Colton Miller on an island goes for a third himself.
Mm-hmm.
You think 4 to 6 is just worth a third? I think it's worth more than that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe when you say it that way. So the Patriots could move from 4 to 6 and get more for Colton Miller.
Yeah, like they also get a third, or they would get like Jacoby Myers.
Leave that part out of it. Fine. Yeah. Leave that part out of
okay.
it. Would you drop from 4 to 6 to get Colton Miller, or is that are you risking now missing out on somebody you really want there? Like again, my guy would be Genty. Your guy, I don't think anymore, is Campbell. That's who you would take it
right.
for, but now you have the left tackle.
Yeah.
So is there anybody you'd be worried about moving down, or would you be okay with that?
See, I think I would probably rather stick and work out another trade because I still want to walk away with a top four player
or really
a top three player, as Field points out.
I'd rather give up the extra third rounder.
Yeah.
Than move down from 4 to 6. I know it's only 2 spots. I'd rather.
I could definitely see Jacksonville sniping Genty.
I'd rather give up the. Exactly.
I think Dice, our listener Dice, texted and said that. Is Genty from Jacksonville, too?
Ooh, I
think
he
might be, so I could see them just grabbing him.
I'm the Genty guy. I should know that. I don't know that.
I think he is.
But I need to know who Vegas
Born
is.
Born in Jacksonville.
Thank you.
Hey, like that.
Wow.
Take the hometown kid.
Good call, Dice.
Yeah.
So, I would need to know who the Raiders obviously are moving up for. Like, who do you want? We're trading with you. Tell us who you want. Who are you moving from 6 to 4?
Yeah.
Who are you going to get? Is it Shadur? Great. Have at it. Is it, you know, Abdul Carter if he's there? Whatever. Is it Genty? Because we want Genty. I would need to know that, and I need to have a real good insight on Jacksonville at 5. Do you see what came out this week about Jacksonville?
What? They're going to sell the team?
No, I mean, their GM, I forget his name, but he came from the Rams. They're doing no top 30 visits.
Smart.
They did no pro days.
Good.
This is what McVay and Les Snead apparently have done for years. In LA.
They don't visit anybody?
They don't
talk to anybody?
They don't go to pro days?
Well, they haven't had picks. You might want to change your philosophy if you now have draft picks.
Okay, well, maybe, but they drafted Jared Verse in the first round last year. He didn't visit. They didn't go to his pro day. They didn't do any of it. So my only point is I wonder how much intel it's possible to have on Jacksonville when it's a new GM and they're not doing any visits.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of intel can you even get there?
But that's another team where you're like, are they drafting for need or best available, or does it matter because they need everything? Right, like they probably aren't. I think for better or worse, they're keeping Trevor Lawrence. So I don't look at them as a team that's going to grab a quarterback. But if they drafted any other position, I don't think it would be a surprise.
Okay, you can jump in here. 617-779-7937. The left tackle solution might be staring you right in the face. And if you make a trade for Colton Miller, it frees you up to do legitimately whatever you want with the 4th pick. So that would be great. Do the Patriots have the stomach to do it? Would you do it? You can dial up WEEI Afternoons about it. I know they're going to be talking about it this afternoon. 617-779-7937. That's how you jump in line with Afternoons. Yeah, I got Hart. Yeah, I got Fitzy. Yeah, I got Ted. They're going to be talking to Curran today as well, as they do each and every Thursday. We'll get you the clip du jour. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Every day I knew
dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Certainly is. Time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We get to all the stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, which, man, 3 guests today. That's going to be a new Jones and Keefe record.
I think even on a Patriots Monday, did we ever have 3 guests?
No. Oh, no. Yes. One day we did. Remember when we were at Gillette, we had 2 in person, 1 on the phone.
Good point.
But that was like a unique situation.
We did. We had Gonzo and Henry in person. They were phenomenal.
We had Field Yates talking draft. We had Rob Bradford talking baseball, and we had Pure Hoops with Terp.
Wow.
What a day.
What a day.
Good luck Friday trying to top that one. That was good. You can check out the Odyssey app for all those.
Although, we do have a mystery guest tomorrow.
Ooh, really?
Right?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying, you're the one who booked it.
Yeah, we booked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I'm like, huh? I'm living in the moment. I'm not thinking too far ahead.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, that's a long tease for you.
Yeah. It's Jason Rossi. So we have
The Red Sox have a day off, Jones. A much needed day off after back to back wins. Break up this Red Sox team. They are 10-10. So tomorrow night they will open up a 4-game series with the White Sox, followed by 3 games with Seattle. So a 7-game homestand. What does their record need to be on that homestand?
They got to take at least 3 against the White Sox.
Yes.
So start right there.
Yep.
And then say you take 2 out of the next 3, they got to win 5.
Bare minimum. 5-2. I'm with you. 5-2.
I'm very focused on just the Chicago series specifically. They barely had a winning record against Chicago a year ago.
Yeah.
They have already dropped 2 out of 3 so far against the White Sox. Mm-hmm. So to me, it has to at least be 3 out of 4. I would love a sweep. We'd all love a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
If you're turning a corner. Maybe you did. Cora called him out earlier this week. So maybe you did. But if you turn around and split against this crappy team, then nothing's changed. So I'm going to be watching this series close.
I agree.
37. My girlfriend's grabbed 37 bags
in a row.
NBA play-in games were rolling on last night. It was the 9-10 games. The Miami Heat defeated the Bulls.
I was not surprised by that.
Nope. And the Dallas Mavericks defeated the Sacramento Kings.
I was surprised by that.
So was that both 10 seeds knocking off the 9 seeds. They have the night off to recover. But then tomorrow night, you have the 8 seed play-in. So Heat, Hawks, Mavs, Grizz. Who do you got in the East? Heat or Hawks?
Heat.
Mavs, Grizz.
Grizz?
Grizzlies?
I don't even feel great. I mean, they're really circling the toilet, but like, is Dallas going to win? I'm surprised Dallas even won last night.
Yeah, I can't really.
I'll go Memphis on that one. Grab bag. Oh, that's a good one.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
We had the Boston Bruins breakup day today. So everybody was cleaning out the old lockers.
Break up the Bruins. I feel like they kind of broke up themselves.
Yeah, they certainly did months ago.
Yeah, really.
Really?
Yeah.
So they were all in the dressing room. Many of them were made available. Don't step on the B while you're in there.
No, heaven
to Betsy. Our own Bridget Prue on the from the skate pod, she had some quotes and stuff from the thing. I'll read you one from Jeremy Swain.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Yeah, I always love hearing from him. He's so relatable.
He was asked about about physically with the workload this year.
Yeah,
played a lot of games.
Yeah.
Quote, I'm so happy with the way my body felt and the way my mind felt, just being hungry every game, expecting to play. It's a testament to the trainers here and work that we put in to allow my body to maintain that physical load.
Yeah, he... I don't know why.
It's what he said.
I don't know why you got to say
end
it like
quote.
That.
No, yeah. End quote.
I don't know why you said it a certain
that
way.
That was a quote.
But, he just seems a little too happy with his season.
He feels like, did you see what we saw?
Yeah, bro, you played 58 games. First of all, that's really not even that many games.
Well, your guy, Corpy, was very upset with how many games he played.
Was he?
Yeah, he was like, I only got 20 to 25 games.
Wait, did he really say that? Oh, yeah. Did I win? I couldn't have won that.
Hell yeah, Corpy.
I couldn't have won my Corpy Allmark prediction. That couldn't have gone well for me. I never fact checked that.
Oh yeah, let's look at that. Let's get the payoff on that. That's gonna be good.
Let me pull that out.
One of those teams is in the playoffs.
I got another quote from Jeremy Swayman. Again, thanks to Bridget for posting this quote. I take accountability. I wanted to play better. I know that I can play better, and that's something that I can't wait to work on.
Okay, well, that's something. That's better than the last one.
This team is going to be a lot different next year with what we learned this year, and we have a lot to look forward to.
Nice.
They're gonna be a lot better next year, according to Jeremy Swayman. Who was the reason they sucked this year.
Corpy finished with a 290 goals against.
All right, Corpy.
Allmark 267. It's not a huge gap, but advantage Allmark.
Allmark, check.
Allmark 911 save percentage. Corpy 893. So check for Allmark.
Allmark.
And Leanness. Ottawa.
Big lean.
Ottawa is a playoff team. Is that what you said, Nick?
They're playing Toronto.
Okay, so there you go. Ottawa in the playoffs, which, I mean, Allmark's been there before. Wake me up when he wins a round.
Yeah. All right. Seem to go that you don't know what
you got till it's gone. You'd be in paradise and put up a grab bag.
I don't know if Bill Belichick has some problems down at North Carolina, but I saw the headline today. His quarterback and D lineman, who led the team in sacks last year, are both entering the transfer portal.
So
you think they got one glimpse of Jordan on the field and we're like, all right, we're done with this.
Yeah, they're like, she's stomping around, telling players what to do. Sending all these angry, strongly worded emails.
Uh-huh.
No, so I just wondered with the quarterback. And is this they had a quarterback initially in the transfer portal,
right?
Who Bill got to come back. I think this is a different QB, if I'm not mistaken, but I lost track of the names. I just wonder because they were sniffing around on the QB from Tennessee, who apparently now is going to wind up at UCLA after his power play. I just wonder if because Bill was sniffing around on a quarterback, it scared this other kid off. Uh-huh. That's all I wonder. But I thought Bill was supposed to add talent. at North Carolina, not lose it. I thought that was the point.
Right now, I think it's like a push.
But, okay. They were, I'll keep going.
What kind of monster are you?
Grab back.
Right. Lee Corso retiring. He's going to do one last college game day in August, and then he's going to retire.
So what I very much enjoy Lee Corso. I still, to this day, at least catch the end of game day. I can't sit there and watch it like I used to. Kids got stuff to do.
It's a long show.
It's a long show. Yeah. And, you know, but I used to really sit around and watch game day. I enjoyed it. I still enjoy game day, but I still make a point to make sure I catch the end of it. He pops on the little mascot head. I still enjoy it. I would say at this point in time, it is probably time. I
mean, yeah.
Most of Lee Corso, I mean, Kirk Herbstreit does yeoman's work.
Like,
I mean,
literally, like, holds his hand through it.
I mean,
sometimes
it's he does a lot to keep Lee Corso up there. He's been an institution on Saturdays. I enjoy him. One of my favorite people on TV, in all sincerity.
Oh, wow.
But I would say it's time to go.
Yeah, it is. And they've kind of phased him out a little bit over recent years. I don't know if he does the full 3 hours.
They brought in more McAfee. And McAfee, by the way, that's a good fit for McAfee. There's a lot of – every fiber of my being wants to not like McAfee on that show. But he's quite good on that show.
It's probably the best pregame show in the business. I would say that...
You like it better than Inside the NBA?
So, no. I would say Inside the NBA, but that's also halftime. That's postgame. But I would take Inside the NBA first. But they do a little bit of everything. Whereas, like, College Game Day...
Game Day's great.
Saturday, you could set your watch to it. They go through all the picks. They zip around. They change the location. It's a lot. It's a blast. And him putting on the different mascot heads and all that stuff is a good time. But... You could see, was it years ago, it was just Fowler, Herbstreit, and Lee. And then it's like, all right, they got to add Desmond. Like, they needed another voice on there. They added McAfee.
They shoehorned in David Pollack for some reason.
So they were like, they kind of knew they had to move on. Yeah. But he was great.
You got to fight for your right to grab back.
The Giants GM, Joe Shane, who looked like a boob last year in the offseason Hard Knocks with everything with Saquon Barkley.
Sure.
He has said that he would play Travis Hunter both ways. So a day after Travis Hunter said, I need to play both ways or I'm going to retire from football, the team that's picking third, now I know a lot of mocks say he's now going to go two, but just to put a little pressure on Cleveland.
The GM at two.
Yeah.
Andrew Berry came out today and said Hunter, a little like Ohtani, he's outstanding at both. He did say he's envisions him more as a receiver than a corner.
I don't know if Travis is going to like that.
So I don't know if Travis is going to like that either. But now after it became well known that Travis Hunter said, I'd walk away if you don't let me play both ways, the teams picking at two and three have both said,
wow,
we're going to play him on both sides of the ball.
Our daily check-in, is Aaron Rodgers still a free agent? Now, the answer is yes. However,
yes, but. Today's a yes, but.
Yes, but.
He basically...
He's been on McAfee for 40 minutes.
He's still on there?
Oh, yes.
He's still on there.
Yeah. Guy can't get enough of it. He's been on a long time.
What's going on?
He hasn't said he is signed, but he hasn't said...
Pot meat kettle. But what's going on? Does his face look weird?
We all have weird faces now, Jones. We're all in our 40s now.
I just said not to be that guy, but I understand. You know,
he's got a weird face.
But is something going on? Did he shave? What's going on? Something looks odd with him.
Yeah,
whatever.
He shaved his face.
Is that what it is?
He's wearing a hat.
He's got like an X in the middle of his eyes.
Something going on. But he did say,
is it Ash Wednesday?
I'm open to anything, attached to nothing. Retirement could still be a possibility.
Okay. Well, if nobody wants you.
He did float the idea that it's not about the money, but he would play for $10 million. I wonder if that was a bit of a trial balloon. Like, somebody give me $10 million, I'll play for you.
Could be.
I wonder if that was going on. But, to answer your question, at this point in time, yes, he is still technically a free agent. Yes.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go.
Grab it.
Let's go.
All right, let's take a look at the top NBA performers from last night. Davion Mitchell, 15 points, 9 assists.
Come on.
DeMar DeRozan, 33 points, 7 rebounds.
They did lose.
An elimination loss. Anthony Davis, 27 and 9. Klay Thompson,
Got the old throwback machine for 23-5.
Nice.
And Tyler Hero, 38-5-4.
I think you got to give it to Tyler Hero, who actually legitimately has had a pretty nice year. Miami has been down, but since they got rid of Butler, he's had a nice year. I'd go Hero.
You can grab my back. Grab my back. My back. You can grab my back.
Top baseball performer from last night, Cal Raleigh.
The big dumper.
The big dumper.
I got to be. I was,
that's Terps guy, right?
I had a good night in the Dong draft pool league.
Sure.
I had a good night, and I go, let me check if I closed the gap on Terp at all. No. And then I out loud cursed the big dumper when I saw he had two more home runs.
Two more Dongs.
Yeah.
That was the guy Nick wanted, and then Terp snagged. Just like, I wanted Kyle Tucker, and he snagged him.
He snaked the whole draft.
He snaked the
greatest strategy in the Dong pool.
He's cat in the grass. He's just listening when everybody wanted.
He took the player everybody else wanted, and he made $20.
He did get $20 from a listener.
And he's winning the league right now.
Yeah, he's dominating.
Shout out Terp.
Aaron Judge, 3-for-3 with a homer. Bryce Harper, 2-for-3 with a homer. A couple of runs batted in. Bailey Falter for Pittsburgh, 7 scoreless, only had 2 Ks. And Chris Bassett, 10 Ks over 5 innings for Toronto.
Let's give it to the big dumper.
Yeah.
A couple home runs.
I think you probably
double
have
double dong and give it to him. Yeah.
I think so.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Off day for the Red Sox, so it could be anybody.
Truly random.
Not playing for any of the teams they're playing today. Okay. So we have an outfielder.
All right.
Who played for 6 teams in a 17-year career.
Wow.
Montreal, Milwaukee, San Francisco, Atlanta.
Marquise Grissom.
He got it.
Wow. How about that? Man.
Not bad.
L.A. and Cleveland.
How about that? That was pretty good. I'm proud of that one.
Let me tell you a little bit more about Marquise Grissom.
If you could.
To fill time.
Yeah.
He was a 2-time All-Star, a 4-time Gold Glove winner, won the 1995 World Series, was also the ALCS MVP. He had MVP finishes.
Was he the ALCS MVP?
He was the ALCS MVP. ALCS MVP. Good question. Cleveland? Yeah, Cleveland. 97 Cleveland.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. MVP finishes. 8, 9, 12, and 13.
Dude, Marquise Grissom was good.
He was nasty.
Good player.
What's the career high Marquise Grissom steals in a season?
40.
That's your guess?
2.
78.
Wow. Holy smokes.
78.
He's burning up the base pass.
This isn't a random player. This is an all-time great player.
Stud.
Is this a Hall of Famer? This is a random player.
He is a member of the 2020 club. He never hit more than, 23
after
home runs.
After the 78, what was his next highest season? Did he swipe that many
76?
Bags? Wow.
So this he started his career 22.
No wonder I knew those teams. The second I heard those teams, I'm like, that's him.
Dude, he had 429 steals.
He is him.
Grissom was nasty.
Wow. Okay, I was way low on the 40 steals. My bad.
Wow.
He was.
Sheepers, creepers. That's a lot of swipes.
Ellie De La Cruz before Ellie De La Cruz. He was out there swiping 70+. Didn't even know it. Good for him.
That is awesome.
Okay, random baseball player of the day. Each and every day in the great. Good luck beating that one. It's
got
to be.
In 2011, he got 0.7% of the Hall of Fame vote. Were they sleeping on Marquise Grissom, these guys?
Wow, so he was.
Oh, let's vote Scott Rowland in, but let's keep Marquise Grissom. It's not even a single vote for Marquise Grissom.
You know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing to add to the random ball player. It's because, like,
votes?
Some of them are going to get, like, some of these guys we talked about, I bet, have gotten random Hall of Fame votes.
Yeah, he sure did.
Wow.
He sure did.
1 year and off the ballot. That's all he got.
He is 60th all-time in stolen bases.
Wow, Marquise
seems like he should be higher.
Get him in the hall.
Yeah.
Get him. Notorious.
Maybe that's what kept him out.
Notorious small hall guys. But
I am a small hall guy, but Marquise Grissom's in there.
Let's get him in the hall. There you go. That's the grab bag. Our random baseball player of the day, I should say, in the grab bag each and every day here on Jones and Keefe. Stay tuned. WEEI Adver News. Yeah, I got Hart. Yeah, I got Fitz. You got Ted. And we got the clip du jour next.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's time for our clip du jour. Jones, are you ready for that?
Sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And earlier today, we had Field Yates from ESPN on talking NFL draft. And we asked him straight up for the Patriots on Thursday night next week, what is the best and worst case scenario?
Best case scenario would probably be one of Abdu Carter or Travis Hunter falling to 4. And they're really picking 3, right? So it's really because the Titans can't more, that's done. And the Patriots obviously would not be in a quarterback market. I guess the only other, I've in my own brain kind of landed on the Patriots taking one of Abdu Carter, Travis Hunter, and Will Campbell. That's where I have landed. It's not that I have their draft board. I'm just using my own sort of instincts and the positional need and where I have these players rated. So the number of outcomes I've considered is pretty low. It's two, kind of. So I guess by default, that makes worst case scenario not one of those guys being available. But, you know, Will Campbell's the fifth player on my board. Like, I don't feel like this is some, you know, catastrophic, that would be some sort of catastrophic event or reality for the Patriots if that's how things fall. Like, it's a huge need for the Patriots, and I think is a darn good player. So, you know, the worst case scenario, I think, is probably, you know, winning that game in week 18 where you're in this setup just in the first place, right? But, you know, that's long behind us. And I don't think that within the construct of where they are and what I think is likely to happen, there's some terrible outcome here.
All right. So there really is no worst case scenario.
Win, win, win.
See, he didn't take it to where I would have gone, which is if they trade down, try to get cute, get extra pick, and then those top guys that he likes and maybe we all like are all off the board. You're like, well, we still have a top 10 pick. It's like, yeah, but you walked away with none of your five favorite players from the draft. That would be worst case scenario. But I guess if they just stay at four, he's kind of suggesting they'll still get somebody really good.
So you can hear the full interview on the Odyssey app. Seek it out on YouTube to subscribe to WEEI. I think that dovetails nicely with where I believe you guys are starting today on afternoons, right? I saw the show poll of the day, the options at left tackle for the Patriots.
Yeah, this Colton Miller, yeah. Rumblings, rumors, the connection to Josh McDaniels, which I like Will Campbell. I want to start out with that. Like, yeah. I'm more than okay. I've been.
Where's it? You like? Oh, sure you do. Okay, you like Will Campbell.
Arguing with Ted Johnson. I actually love him. This latest video of him squatting 600 pounds with the little wink. Like, he's a badass. I think he's a badass.
I know. I like him.
But the thing that is now intriguing about Colton Miller is you get Colton Miller and an elite player.
Yes.
If you take Will Campbell, there's no other trade, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Genty or whatever else. Yeah.
So they're not really apples to apples comparisons.
So let me ask you.
I'd take two good players over one good player.
So I'm with you. Right? I would love that approach.
Seems simple.
Yeah. Let's say
new math.
You get Colton Miller for your extra third round pick or something like that.
Sure.
Okay. Let's say Carter and Hunter are gone. You don't need Will Campbell anymore, right? So who's your pick at four?
So I would probably go Tyler Warren, which I didn't realize today. His name is Ty Warren, and they've already had a first-round pick named Ty Warren.
And it worked.
Never, ever realized that. Yeah. I'm such a moron. Apparently, you cut the L-E-R off, and same name.
Ty Warren.
Yeah. I think he's the safest player in the draft. And if you fill all your holes, I don't love the receivers there. Excuse me? What are you looking at?
It's already clipped.
I'm going to pause or something?
It's already clipped.
We got it.
Yeah, it's going to now.
I think you take Tyler Warren because I do still have a little fear of Genty being the Trent Richardson.
Really? No, he's not Trent Richardson.
You didn't think Trent Richardson was Trent Richardson either.
No. That felt high at the time.
Two teams fell for that sucker. He got traded for a first after he was a bust of a first.
That was wild. The best argument against Genty, and whatever, Richardson is fair. The best argument is you can get it's a deep running back class, and you can get another one on day two. I'd buy that. I'd still take Genty, but I'd buy all that.
Yeah, and I think Tyler Warren is a really unique guy who, in their little culture world, remember those reports a couple weeks ago where there were teams not doing visits with Warren because they're like, we don't need to know anything. He's tough. He's physical. Mm-hmm. He's hardworking. He's smart. He's the perfect football player. We don't need to visit with him. You add this to this little culture overhaul, although he kind of backed off that recently where he said,
yeah, he did.
You don't win with good dudes. You need good players. Well, this guy's a good dude and a good player by all accounts. So, I think if I did the Colton Miller trade and no Carter or Hunter available, I'd go Ty Warren.
Ty Warren.
Second time in 20 years, Patriots take Ty Warren in the first round.
Good hit rate on Ty Warren so far.
I mean, he was good. I'd hope this Ty Warren be better.
He's good.
I want an all pro.
Yeah, I would want an improvement.
If I take a tight end at four, he better be close to Gronk.
Did he sniff a Pro Bowl once?
He might have sniffed it.
Did he sniff it?
Didn't get there.
Snub.
He's right around it. Pro Bowl snub.
And that was back when they meant something.
He was all decade team, though, right? For the Pats?
Saying it with a question mark?
Well, for the Pats, not for the league.
I was like, what decade team?
2000s.
Among guys named Ty Warren?
I mean, top Ty Warren. He's in the Ty Warren Hall of Fame.
You got a good event going on tonight, too, right, Fitzy?
Yes, indeed. Thank you guys very much for the plug at the end of the Field Yates interview, which was great. I wish Field Yates wasn't a card-carrying member of the Will Campbell Inevitability Fan Club, but it seems as though that is now fait accompli as far as the draft goes. So be it. But yes, tonight, 7:30 p.m. at Vitamin C Brewing in Weymouth, Massachusetts. It's the draft party. We are raising funds for Doug Kide's Leukemia and Lymphoma Society efforts. Going to have a great time tonight. Pop Douglas in the house joining us tonight for a 45.
Pop Douglas.
Nice. Little Pop Douglas.
Pop on the tape.
Pop's coming in for a nice little Q&A to kick things off. And then best friend of heart, Mike Giardi, joins the party with Callahan and Kai to preview the draft as well. We'll see how well he smells in person.
Oh, it'll be good.
Probably when surrounded good, by bar
key
pizza
lime pie,
and beers.
I'm guessing.
Key lime pie?
Yep, he'll have an odor. You'll want to lick him.
And there, that's right. Please save that. And there's also an auction going on right now. You can go to my Twitter feed, at FitzyGFY. 30-minute Zoom. You can win for a chance to dominate your league with Field Yates. And right now, the Mike Vrabel autographed football is blowing up.
Oh,
there's a bunch of people that are bidding high. We got Pasta Jersey as well. Nice. Maybe you can autograph that, Rich.
I would love to.
Yeah, get that guy. Yeah. Drive up the value on that.
And our final auction bid, which you just put in, I'll do 35 minutes on why you shouldn't see a Minecraft movie.
No good, huh? Did the kids go crazy with what is it?
Chicken jockey? I got to just say real quick.
Chicken jockey.
So, yeah,
jockey
no, yeah. I had so much fun with my 7-year-old, my 12-year-old, and his best friend watching it. But the kids go crazy, shout stuff out, Flint and Steel, chicken jockey. They're yelling the whole movie. Yeah. It's a Rocky Horror Picture Show. At the end of the movie, when Jason Momoa and the chicken jockey and the little Frankenstein all wrestle, a couple of high school kids behind me, maybe aged your son's age. It wasn't your son, though. I can verify. Stood up. Threw a bucket of popcorn across the movie theater and a real dead chicken foot.
Oh. Whoa, I love it. It's like you're going to like a hockey game and they're throwing squid.
That's like a hex.
I think you have a curse on you now.
Yeah, exactly.
No, people say this is like a wild time now. They love it. It's made like $300 million worldwide already.
If I get hit with a real chicken foot, I'd be pissed.
Little popcorn, okay.
Kind of gross. Andy, what if you get paid $10 an hour to clean movie theaters like I used to, and you have to get literally have salmonella foot right there?
Do the chickens have large talons?
Damn kids.
Okay.
That sounds fun.
Good event.
Good time tonight. Thank you, guys.
Good event at Vitamin C Brewing.